Carrie felt everything crumble inside her. She put her hands over her face and began to cry as silently as she could. He had killed her daughter, her sweet, innocent child, who would never have been able to identify him, even if she had seen him. What had he done to her? Again, the Haas murder scene flashed through her memory. It was too much. She rested her elbows on her thighs and rocked herself as she began to sob. Her daughter was dead because of her, because of this lunatic killer who believed she had championed his cause. She wanted to die. She wanted Carl Dahl to come to her and slit her throat and be done with it. She rocked herself harder, keening.
"I didn't mean that," Carl said irritably. "I didn't mean she's dead."
He came and knelt beside the chair, putting a hand on her arm.
"Please don't cry so, Carrie," he said softly. "I didn't mean for you to cry. You're my angel."
"Oh my God," Carrie mumbled behind her hands.
"It's just that you're with me now," he explained. "You're with me. You're my angel."
"Please stop saying that," Carrie said, her voice trembling. "The police will be looking for me, you know."
"That don't matter," Carl said, matter of fact. "They got no idea where you are."
"You'll go to prison for the rest of your life if you hurt me. If you let me go,
they gotta catch me first," Carl snapped. "And if they catch me, I'll go to prison for the rest of my sorry life, no matter what. Now, I don't want to hear no more about it."
He went to another grocery bag and pulled out one of David's exotic beers. For Christmas, the year before, Carrie had signed him up for the Beer of the Month Club. That was the only thing she'd given him he hadn't had some complaint about. The memory of a better Christmas was the two of them, the second Christmas after they had married. They were having a party. Mistletoe had made the rounds, courtesy of one of their friends. She saw David laughing, trim and fit and handsome, herself laughing too, leaning against him with her hand on the flat of his belly. He was holding a poinsettia over his head and had told her that the poinsettia, being that much larger than Mistletoe, meant they had to go upstairs and make a baby. And so they had, after their guests had gone home. They had been so happy.
"You want something to drink?" Carl asked.
Carrie just stared at him. He brought her a bottle of Fiji water and a couple of Triscuits with summer sausage. Hors d'oeuvres. She took a sip of the water. It went down like a rock in her aching throat. She shook her head at the food. She probably should have eaten it. She hadn't had a decent meal in 3 days. She needed strength if she was going to get out of this mess, but the idea of food made her want to gag. She pulled the chenille throw around herself, shivered, and coughed.
"You should have a lie down," Carl said. "I know you wasn't comfortable in that trunk. I'm sorry about that. And I'm sorry I had to choke you like I did. I had to do that so you wouldn't make a fuss."
He sat on a box, eating his lunch, as if this were a perfectly normal situation for him. Maybe it was.
"Where are you from, Carl?" she asked. "Kansas, but I ain't been back there in a long time."
"Why is that?" He pretended not to have heard her, his little trick for avoiding a topic.
"What brought you to Minneapolis?" "A train," he said, and laughed and laughed.
"You like moving around from town to town?"
"It suits me," he said, nodding. "Can't stay in one place too long."
"Why is that?"
His face darkened as he looked down at the knife he'd used to cut the sausage, a 9-inch boning knife Carrie knew to be sharp enough to cut paper.
"It's just best to move on."
Because he went from town to town murdering innocent people? The system had coughed up a record on Carl Dahl, but there was no way of knowing what he might have done and gotten away with. He was one of those people who drifted along below the radar.